Up next on Health Sense, we have a cardiologist from Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore, Dr. Daniel Yeo. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. The year-end season is also a time for festive feasting. It's time for celebrations. Lots of late nights. We're partying. We're having fun. Some of us may have underlying heart problems. Overexcitement can actually lead to some pretty disastrous outcomes as well.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I think there is something that we need to address.
Yes.
And recently, a well-known personality, Godfrey Gao, passed away. Was it a heart attack or a cardiac arrest? I'm not too sure. But is there a difference, Doctor, between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest?
Yeah, well, certainly it was a tragedy. I mean,
it was.
Godfrey was young man with so much ahead of him.
And he looks so fit and
yeah. Just 35,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think he's younger than all of us here, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't want to comment directly on this case, but certainly some of the reports suggested that there was cardiac arrest. And there is a difference between cardiac arrest and heart attack. Of course, a heart attack can cause cardiac arrest, but the heart can actually go into what we call cardiac arrest, which just means it stops beating. It doesn't necessarily need to be a heart attack. A heart attack is where the blood vessels in the heart get blocked up. So if I can take a model of the heart.
Right.
So this is a model of the heart. It's enlarged. That's not the size of a human heart.
Thank goodness. That'll
be the size of Goliath.
Yeah.
So you have the heart, which is mainly a muscle to pump blood around the body. Mm. And the muscle, of course, needs blood supply to bring oxygen and nutrients to the muscle for it to work. Mm. So you have three main blood vessels, one on the right side and two on the left. And if any of these blood vessels get blocked up, and usually by cholesterol, and that will cause death of the heart muscle, and that's a heart attack. So usually people will feel chest discomfort or chest pain, sweaty, they may even feel faint or collapse. A cardiac arrest can occur in the setting of a heart attack, but sometimes there are other conditions, so such as irregular heart rhythms, which can lead to the phenomenon of cardiac arrest. Certainly with a flu-like illness, that can cause what we call viral myocarditis. That's inflammation of the heart muscle. And heart muscle can also weaken or even have an irregular rhythm and eventually go into arrest.
Thank you, Dr. Yeo. This is Health Sense, supported by Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore. We'll find out more about cardiac arrest when we come back.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman.
Good times.
Greatest hits.
1FM 91.3.
1FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman, back with Health Sense and back with Dr. Daniel Yeo, cardiologist at Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore.
Okay, with cardiac arrest, can it just be that the person gets so worked up that the heart just can't take it anymore?
Well, it would need to result in the heart actually stopping.
Yeah.
So there would be a few different possible mechanisms. We talked about heart attack. We talked about irregular heart rhythms. Of course, there's this entity called the stress cardiomyopathy or Takotsubo syndrome. And that's been increasingly recognized. It was first described in the 1990s by the Japanese. But we realized that it's not a purely East Asian phenomenon. It's in Singapore, in Southeast Asia, in the West as well. And in fact, some of the largest case series have been reported in the US. And what happens is that there is no blockages of the blood vessels, but the sudden surge in stress hormones causes the heart to malfunction. And what happens is that the base of the heart, so if we open up the model of the heart here, if I can show you this. So this is the main pumping chamber of the heart. The base of the heart contracts forcefully, but the rest of the heart, instead of contracting, just balloons out. And that's why they call it the Takotsubo syndrome, because that's the name for the octopus pot that the traditional Japanese fishermen would use to catch the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a balloon. So that is another condition that is recognized to result in a sudden situation where the heart can actually malfunction, weaken, or even stop. So it's possible.
This is also, well, it's also been referred.
That's literally, I mean, as someone who suffers the Takotsubo syndrome and who passes on, it's literally dying of a broken heart.
Exactly.
That's one of the other names for it, right? The broken heart.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Yeo. This is Health Sense, supported by Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore. When we come back, we'll find out if we can exercise if we have the flu.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.
1FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman back with Health Sense and back with Dr. Daniel Yeo, cardiologist at Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore.
So here's the question, and you mentioned this a little earlier. So let's say I have the flu. Mm. Is it true to say that I should not be overexerting myself? I should not be exercising? Because there are people who say that that virus can then travel directly to your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you have a flu, if you are unwell, then you shouldn't be participating in competitive sport. You shouldn't be pushing yourself. It doesn't mean you have to lie in bed.
Right.
You know, you can still walk and so on, but you shouldn't be really exerting yourself. So if you are planning to go for a jog, you know, postpone it. You know,
yeah.
Your life is much more important than keeping to that schedule or reaching that target.
Very important advice.
Yeah, I remember growing up and hearing my friends talk about their parents asking them to run around when they're having a fever, to break the fever and all that.
So because if you sweat, you'll break the fever.
Yeah. Well, the phenomenon of sweating actually is a result of your body getting better. So it's not that you force a sweat. When you are ill and when you have a fever, what's happening is that your body changes its set temperature. So let's say your normal body temperature is 36.5 degrees. When you are ill, your body says, okay, your normal temperature should be higher. It automatically increases the temperature. That's why you have a fever, but you're not sweating.
Right.
But when you're recovering, then that set temperature comes down again. And then your body detects, oh, now I'm hot, so I start perspiring.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can't force yourself to get better.
Right, okay. Oh, let's talk about something else. I wear it. I know a lot of people wear it. Wearables.
Yes.
I've seen things now that they track your heart rate, they track your blood pressure, they track all kinds of things. Mm. Are these things really good, or do they just stress people out even more?
Well, I think yes to both of that. So okay. It depends on the individual. So you have to be aware of what you're trying to achieve. If you are exercising and you want to know how fast your heartbeat goes to,
right.
Or if you have a certain timing you want to meet, that's very useful because now you can have a very portable device. It's very accurate and reliable. But on the other hand, if you're trying to worry about your health and you're going to look at your device constantly and wonder if every little blip means that a heart attack is coming, that's going to cause more psychological anxiety. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have that device then.
Interesting that you said these devices are actually accurate. So the heart rate monitors are actually accurate?
They are accurate, yeah.
So what about the newer ones that have blood pressure? Blood pressure is always taken off the arm. Now suddenly we're taking it down on our wrist.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because that's a technology. When we measure the blood pressure, it's a very old technology,
right.
More than perhaps 150 years old.
Okay.
And that just relies on occluding or blocking the blood supply,
right.
And then measuring that pressure required.
Right.
But the new way of measuring blood pressure requires measuring the pulse wave characteristics.
Oh.
And so you don't actually need to compress the artery fully. Of course, that is not the direct measurement of the blood pressure. It relies on a database of so-called normal values and abnormal values, so they develop an algorithm. So it depends on the device itself. Some are very accurate, but of course they could be cumbersome. And then you have the very portable ones that at least there is one or two locally that are fairly reliable and some of the international experts do endorse.
Mm.
And then, of course, you have a whole plethora of others that may not be as rigorously tested.
Yeah. Yeah.
But technology is amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
New technology. Yeah. We have been speaking to Dr. Daniel Yeo, cardiologist at Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.